it does, damned if it doesn't on this one. Because of the Flores agreement, the court agreement, children can't be held longer than 20 days. The administration has tried to keep children with their parents to avoid family separation, which they're getting beat up for. But if they do, then they're in violation of the court agreement. So this is a legislative fix. Congress needs to do its job. Mm-hmm. I think the president has been reasonable in putting deals on the table. And if we're serious, if the Democrats are serious about helping solve the problem, then they'll take him up on these offers.
A hospital employee in Orangeburg, South Carolina, is in critical condition after being shot at work. Regional Medical Center Hospital spokesman Charles Williams explains the shooter was a patient at the hospital before he left on his own.
The individual did return to the emergency department at approximately 8:50 with the weapon and began shooting inside the emergency department.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Good afternoon. It's Joe Peters with Real Estate Matters. We're going to do our monthly update today. I'm a day late. It is Wednesday at 4:05 p.m. scenic downtown Flemington, and the date is the 10th of April. They've asked me to do a few commercials and the weather first, so here we go.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunterd In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunterd In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So the weather forecast, it is pretty nice outside. It's 57 degrees. The flowers got their heads all popped up through the dirt as I walked into the office. It is going to be a high of 59 today, tomorrow a high of 57, and then we're going to catch some rain Friday, probably that storm that's coming through the Midwest. And we're going to get rain Friday night through Saturday and Sunday. So it may not be the best weekend, but April showers, you know what they say. So it brings the next thing in line, and we'll be looking about the flowers in May. Here's a few more, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterd In Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdin-chamber.org. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterd In Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterd In County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. offices located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
So, hi, it's Joe Peters. I'm going to play a little about my background, and we'll be going in about 15 seconds.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
So this is Joe Peters, and we're going to be talking about what's happened in the last month in real estate in both Hunterdon and Somerset County. People ask, how do I come about all of this information that I share with you? There's a couple of different avenues I take. One is I'm constantly involved in both counties. I'm talking to sellers, buyers, other realtors, and industry experts, including attorneys and appraisers, inspectors throughout the month. Secondly, I belong to several organizations that some of these people belong to as well, and the subject matters presented there are incorporated into what I talk about. And then thirdly, there's a couple of subscriptions that I subscribe to that give me not only local central New Jersey information, but national information. All of that put together comes out in a newsletter somewhere around the first of each month. There's a Hunterdon County version and there's a Somerset County version. I'm going to give you the highlights of both today. The newsletter is published and distributed via email. And if you'd like to get a copy of it, you can contact me at jpeters@jpeters.com. Just say I'd like to get a copy of your newsletter each month and tell me which county or both, and I'll send it off to you. So it's Joe Peters, and real estate has really sort of broken loose. One of our industry experts that I listened to said that it would probably be around St. Patrick's Day, which was, I guess, so we've got to be going on 3 Sundays ago, that real estate would break loose, and he was right on. It has been, from that day forward, hectic. And that's a good hectic because I see buyers and I see sellers, and there's really three things, one, two, three, that have to happen in order for our market to keep going at the momentum level that it's going at. One is the interest rates have to hold, and if anything, they've dropped. Our interest rates are very near to 4%, if not under them, as we speak. And today is the 10th of April, 2019. Number two, we need to keep inventory numbers increasing. And that has happened. Throughout November, December, January, February, we're adding inventory. And then when that St. Patrick's Day timeframe came along, we had a lot of new houses to sell. And I think that's what spurred the market. And then thirdly, I mean, we really have more inventory than we had last year for the last 6 months going, and that, quite honestly, is the first time in 3 years we've ever seen that happen. As always, we had less inventory. We're still at a deficit level in a lot of areas, especially the more popular price points, but we do have more inventory than we had last year. And then the third thing that has to keep going is that the jobs have to remain aligned. Back in the February announcement, we had a 20,000 job, new job creation number. It sounded fluky. It was. They adjusted it up a little bit in March, and then the March number actually came out to close to 200,000, which was great news. Our unemployment rate has held at 3.8% nationwide, and our unemployment rate in New Jersey is holding at 4%. The good news about the unemployment rate at New Jersey, or maybe we should say the employment rate, is that the jobs that we're putting on in New Jersey are good-paying jobs. I wouldn't say they're all executive levels, but they're not all minimum wage like they were for a few years. So the jobs that we're putting on are somewhat better than they were, and as a result, the people who are filling those jobs will be able to eventually afford to buy a house. Hunterdon County and Somerset County are not inexpensive places to live in. So we really need to have people earning a decent living in order to be able to buy houses in those areas. And what we're seeing in New Jersey is we're holding our own, we're adding the jobs, we're in effect hiring people at a higher rate than we used to, and it all adds up to good news. So we've got good interest, we've got good jobs numbers, and we've got inventory to sell. Couldn't give it any better. Here's what happened, and I always break my news report into two sections. One is what's happening, and the second, why it's happening. The what's happening, I was once told, if you know what's happening, you're always going to have a job. If you know why it's happening, you're probably going to be the boss. So let's go through the what's happening, and then I'll go through the why it's happening for you. Based on last full month's account contract sales, statistics show a supply of approximately 4 months in Hunterdon County. 4 to 6, if you'll remember from previous conversations, is normal. That's where prices aren't going up. They're not going down. It's normal, 4 to 6 months. We're at the bottom of that scale. If you get above 6 months, well, then we probably have pressure on prices. You get below 4 months, we've probably got multiple offers. Now, that has to be looked at by your price point in your area. But for a whole, the county has 4 months supply. That's good news. We came and units going under contract in the last 70 days, 202 properties went under contract in February, up from 125 the month before. And in effect, it wasn't February, it was March, up 125 from the month before. So that's good news. We also added 257 properties to the inventory. So in the course of a month, we add some properties, some properties sell, some properties expire, some properties get pulled off the market. But we're sitting at the end of the month with 781 properties on the market in Hunterdon County. We sold 202 of them. If you divide 202 into 781, that's the where the 4 month supply comes from. 77% of our sales, nearly 4 out of 5 of our sales, were under $500,000. That left only 23% above that mark. And of that 23%, 5% were above a million. I should say above 700,000. So we had 77% of our sales under 500, 5% above 700. So the difference, which is going to be 18%, is going to be between 500 and 700,000. All the way through those price points, we had, for the 500,000, we had 4 months or less supply. And in the fives and the sixes, it slowed down a little. We have 6 months supply, still within the range of being normal. And in the eights, in the sevens, we had 26-month supply. We actually had 51 properties for sale, 13 went under contract. You divide, I'm sorry, we had 51 for sale, 13 additionals came on. But if you divide the two sales into the 51 that were for sale, we have 26 months or 2 years. In the 800,000 range, we had 39 available, 6 sold, gave us 7 months supply. And if you get a million or higher, we're looking at about a 15-month supply. Now, this also varies by town. We've got to take a look at what town you live in. People say, well, how's the market? I'll say it depends where you live and what your price point is. If you live in the popular areas around Clinton, Clinton Township, Brereton, Reddington, and you're under 500,000, the market's really good. If you're in that same point but you're all the way over at Frenchtown, it's a little softer, or up into Hampton or down into the East than West Amwell's. But let's take a look at the towns that have been very popular. We had Bloomsbury. We only had seven I'm sorry, we had four under contracts, 1 month supply in Bloomsbury. We had Glen Gardner, same thing. We sold just about everything we had. We had 11 active listings, 10 went under contract. So there's some really good areas. Lebanon Borough, 9 for sale, 6 went under contract, 2 months supply. But we had the antithesis of this as well. If you take a look at Delaware Township, one of our more extreme areas as far as being off-center, great place to live, just don't do a lot of business over there. 37 houses for sale, only 2 sold. That gives us 19 months supply. And that's the worst. Alexandria, another one that's very similar, great place to live. 44 for sale, 5 went under contract in the 5, 5 in the 44, 9 months supply. So we've got some great areas. We've got some not so great areas. The hot spots typically are Clinton Township. We sold 23 of our units there. Raritan Township, we sold 34 units there. And in Reddington, we sold 28. If you add all of those three together, I guess there's four of Clinton Township representing two of them, you've got about 44%, 43% of all of our business. The average price for the whole county for listing was $531,000, and the average price for sale was $384,000. Now, people ask, that's 28% difference. How can that be? Well, a lot of times houses get listed at prices that I would call test market prices. Let's list it a little high and see what happens. Maybe we'll get lucky. It's a horrible idea, but the average lister does want to do that. The other thing that happens is the houses that we list today, just by the nature, as I'm saying, it's taking us 70 days to get an offer, aren't going to sell for 2.5 months. 2.5 months from now, it's going to be a different market, and that market may be the person who sold the first-time buyer their house and is now buying a second house that's a step up, and they're going to pay a little bit more. So they may be selling out in that time frame. The thing that I think you need to keep in mind is it depends on where you're at price-wise, and it depends on where you're at geographically. Once again, if you're in a popular area and a popular price point, you're not going to have any problem selling your house. If you're in a unpopular area, still a great area to live, but a little further to commute, that's what makes it unpopular typically, and you're in a good price point, you're still probably in great shape, but instead of taking 2 months to sell, it's going to take 6 months to sell. And then if you got both wrong as far as popularity, you're in an unpopular area and in a price point that's not popular, it could take you somewhere in the vicinity of 8 to 12 to even 24 months to sell your house. And I'll give you an example. Let's say we're going to take a look at the worst case scenario, Delaware Township. You're going to sell a house in Delaware Township in the freeze a lot quicker than you're going to sell a house in Delaware Township in the 900,000 range. So it depends on your price point. It depends on your location. What you need to do is have an industry expert like me take a look at your property, take a look at the sales for similar properties in the last 90 to 120 days, take a look at these statistics for your price point in your area, and put together an analysis of where your house would price out at and how long it's been taking to sell houses in that area in that price point. It's pretty easy to do. And then the one thing I can do as a Coldwell Banker employee, and not all of our agents have this skill set, but it is available to them. It's just a few of them have really zoned in on it, like myself, is I can take the makeup of the area where you live, and that would be age bracket, salary, average age, average amount of education, college, advanced degree, no college, some degree, and I can say that's the profile for that area. Then I could look as to where recent sales have come from in that area and where they've moved from to that area. And I can then take that profile and advertise Let's just make up an example. Let's say you're in Clinton and the average person in Clinton has a college degree, is 35 to 50, and they're moving in from the Somerville area. Just making this up. I can then go to the Somerville zip code and say, give me all the 35 to 50s of a college degree and advertise to them. And as a result of matching this geographic and profile of education and earnings to the people that live there and understanding where the people are moving there from, I can advertise back to that upper area to that profile and get people a lot quicker. That's a big difference when it comes to sell your house. Does it mean you'll get more money? I can't guarantee it, but it does mean you're going to sell your house a lot quicker and maybe get closer to asking. So that's what's happening in Hunterdon County. Let's go through a little bit of what's happening in Somerset County. If you remember, I said we had on the market 781 houses in Hunterdon County. We have 1,359 in Somerset County, almost twice as much. In Hunterdon County, we put 202 under contract. In Somerset, we put 435 under contract. And in Hunterdon County, we listed 257. In Somerset County, we listed 574. Now, why is this? Is it a better place to live? Depends where you're at. Some answers are yes, some answers are no, some answers are equal. The issue is it's closer to New York City, and people can get to work when they have to go to New York City easier than they can in Hunterdon County. And as a result, where it takes 70 days to sell a house in Hunterdon County, it takes 52 days to sell a house in Somerset County. When in Hunterdon County, we're listing a price is averaged at $530. In Somerset County, our listing price averages out at, I got to turn a page, at $620, usually about 20% more. And in Hunterdon County, our average sale price is $384. And in Somerset County, our average sale price is $464. So the biggest difference between Hunterdon County and Somerset County is Somerset County is closer to New York. Somerset County, you get about the same amount of house for about 20% more, and you probably get about half the property size because it's more dense. You don't get the multi-acre lots over there. 1 acre is a big lot in Somerset County. They've got a few bigger than that, but in general, that's a pretty accurate statement. So if we look at the statistic for Somerset County, we had 4 months supply in Hunterdon, and we have 3 months supply in Somerset. And when we went all the way up to 500,000 before we got over 4 months supply, I can go all the way up to 900,000 in Somerset County and still have 4 months supply. They get a little pullback when you get over 900, they're sitting with a year's supply, and over a million are sitting with 13 months supply. But they're selling more houses because they're closer to New York. They're getting more money because it's closer to New York. And they're getting less land for their price and paying about 20% more because it's closer to New York. And that's the way it works. If you took the opposite of that argument and talked about Warren County or Pennsylvania, you'd find the opposite. You'd pay less, you travel more, and it's harder to sell. And a lot of people fall into the trap of thinking, oh, I'm going to live in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, I can get twice the house that I can get in Hunterdon or Somerset County. And you can. And Pennsylvania is a great place to live. It's just not a great place to commute from. So many people try it on a weekend and say, this really isn't so bad. But the weekend and a weekday are two different commute schedules. And you could spend up where in Hunterdon County it take you at least an hour, hour and 15 to get to New York. In Somerset County, it's probably an hour to 50 minutes. In Pennsylvania, you're probably talking 2 hours. So that's taking another hour each way out of your schedule. And in effect, yes, you're getting a cheaper house, but you're paying back a little each day commuting both time-wise and expense-wise. So that's what's happening. Now let's tell you about why it's happening, because I think this is the interesting part of the presentation. Before I do, I'm going to play a few more of our paid commercials, and I will be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rabcoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
So back, we talked about what's happening, back to why it's happening. And the first part of this, and this is broken into two parts, so we're going to talk about economic conditions. That drives whether or not people can do things. But then we're going to talk about lifestyle changes, and that drives what people really want to do. So they need both of these things added together in order to buy a house: good economic conditions and quality of life issues, how they want to live. Here's the economic conditions. The biggest news is interest rates. Interest rates have dropped further over the last month. The economy is strengthening, and interest rates have fallen in recent weeks to just over 4% for a 30-year mortgage. Depends on your credit, depends on your assets, but that's a number that never changes. A prime 30-year is just over 4% at 4.05%. And consumer fears of further rises in interest rates, although it doesn't look like we're going to get another one for a while, are in rising home prices, which is going to happen regardless, is what's driving the market today. What we've read is that there was a lot of stink about the interest rates. Two prime rates hikes in the fourth quarter really slowed down the market. And that lasted all the way till about February, because not only did it slow down the market, it takes 60 days for things to close. But the fact that we not only don't see any rate hikes in the first half of the year, as a matter of fact, we may or may not have, but I'm thinking may, have overreacted. And it's the fact that we're not going to see another rate hike, hopefully, this year at all. As a matter of fact, it's not out of the picture that we don't have a rate reduction, which happens from time to time. But the two rate hikes slowed the market down. They felt the economy was going too fast. They did what they thought they needed to do, and that's important. People with what they had, the process, the data, and decision-making on, did what they thought they needed to do. But, in effect, it slowed the market down. And now that we're not seeing any rate hikes, and there's several ways we can forecast this. One is the Fed says they're not going to do it. Two is we have some economic indicators to say it doesn't look like it's going to happen. At best, there may be a rate hike late this year, but we're hoping there's none at all. It's got people out saying, wow, 4%, we haven't seen this rate in almost 2 years. Time to buy a house. Then secondly, you got to have a house to buy, and that comes in with our inventory levels. For the first time in 3 years, we've seen an improvement in the inventory situation over the last 6 months. But it's still below what we need. The still low inventory numbers lead to a bit of softening and price appreciation, though. Because we're having more houses on the market, there's more to choose from, and the house prices aren't going up as much because people aren't overpaying for the houses. We saw a decrease of 1% in home sales in February. Year-to-date, we're 2% above 2018. Activity still concentrates in the under $400,000 market, where the millennial buyers are transitioning into home ownership. But the price point, this price point saw a 4% decrease in 2018 year-to-date, most likely due to lack of inventory. So that's 4% over the previous year, 2018, last month. The 400-600 raise rate had an increase of 14%. That's most likely that we have some inventory to buy for a change. And as a result of people moving up from the 200 to 400 range into the 400-600 range, leave some inventory for the lower people to buy, and I think that will take shape. At the same time, the number of homes offered for sale in New Jersey still remains low, but rising slightly by 2% last month. Currently, 36,000 fewer homes, or 50% less, on the market than the 2011 peak. It's an amazing number. We're selling as many, if not more, but we don't have the inventory that we had on the market. The only answer is we're selling them quicker, and that is the answer. We're seeing houses priced right in hot markets sell the day they come on, sometimes multiple offers. We're seeing prices, houses across all price points, if priced right, selling pretty quickly. But it's a combination of two things that people are fearing. And one is they're afraid the interest rates won't hold as low as they will, and I can guarantee you they won't, not forever, and that the house prices will go up. And if you were just to look at a person who could afford at today's rate of 4%, if that rate got back up to 5%, they'd lose 9% of their buying power. So if at 4% they could afford a $500,000 house, at 5% you take 9% off, they could only afford a $455,000 house. And if the prices during that same time frame, let's say the next year, went up 5%, then they probably can afford more like a $425,000 house. That's the fear that's out there. People still see home ownership as part of the American dream. They just are seeing the home they want a little differently, and we're going to get to that. So we talked about home sales and inventory. We talked about the interest rates. Let's talk about the job front a little bit better. Only 20,000 jobs in the month of February. March, that got upgraded to almost 40,000, and in effect that we put another 190-some thousand on. So we're doing okay job-wise. I mean, if you take a look at the gross numbers, we have 7.6 million jobs open, and we only have 6.5 million people unemployed. Someone might say, why not just fill those jobs with the people that are unemployed? Well, there's two issues. One is they may have the wrong skill sets, and two, they may be in the wrong areas. And then three, anybody who took economics, as I did when I was first in college, economics 101 says you're always going to have 3% unemployment. Some of it's seasonal work, some people out of work because of layoffs, some people out of work because of health issues. 3% unemployment is normal. 200 million workforce, 3%, that's the 6 million. We don't have any people left. The simple truth is try to push a door open in a restaurant or a retail store and not see help wanted on the front door. We need more people. And one of the things that is happening at the same time is we're trying to elevate the minimum wage. Well, I, for one, argue that the minimum wage in Hunterdon and Somerset County is probably around $13 an hour anyway, because that's what the market has to pay in order to get people to come to work. If we were to pay the $9 an hour or whatever minimum wage is, I think it's $8. Anyway, we're talking about it going to 11, but it's around 9 right now. You wouldn't get anybody. So you're paying $13 an hour. We don't need to raise the minimum wage. We need to let the free market take its toll, and people are out there earning $12, $13, $14 an hour without any issues. So New Jersey job front, as I mentioned earlier, is doing better and better. We're seeing more and more skilled people come into the workforce, and As a result, we're pulling out of the foreclosure issue that we were in. The foreclosure issue, we were number one in the nation. Now we're number four or five. We've dropped dramatically. We're down to 2.3%. I can remember it wasn't 2 years ago. We were over 5%. And what we're seeing is that figures by local market, especially those walloped by hurricanes, vary. But we're ranking four right now. And ranking four, we're being led by New York, by Mississippi, mostly hurricane-related, and Louisiana. And being trailed by Maine, Florida, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Alabama. The national average is 1.7. So if we're doing 2.3 and a national average is 1.7, we're coming out of this. We will probably have 45,000 foreclosures this year. And last year we had like 65,000 and the year before 75,000. There will be a point in time where we're back to normal. There will always be some foreclosures, but not the numbers we had after the 2008 financial crisis. Tax cuts. This turns out to be probably one of the biggest political fairy tales I've ever heard. Oh, my God, I'm only going to have $10,000 worth of deductions. But nobody's saying, yeah, but my tax rate slid from 32 to 24%, and that's more than what I'm losing on the other side. We're seeing a lot of smiling faces coming out of the tax offices getting their returns done for the first time at the new tax table. Another fable we heard was the tax rebates are lower this year. Yeah, they are lower. But what happened? We reduced the amount of taxes we took out last year because we're trying to align the amount that's taken out of your check to what is owed so that you don't get or have to pay taxes. We're trying to make it be a break-even basis. There was just some articles this week that they're even adjusting this a little further this year. So the tax impact has had its effect where it needs to have its effect, and that's in the upper 2 to 4%. You have to earn, according to statistics that I've seen, $400,000 a year before these tax changes impact you. And you have to own $1 million worth of real estate. Now, I'm not saying we don't have people that do this. Yes, average 2 to 4% of the New Jersey taxpayers earn that kind of money. And they're going to be impacted. But it's not the other 96% are not. The other 96% are either going to break even or pay less taxes. And as a result, have more money in their pocket. And as a result, be able to buy bigger houses or go on vacation or pay off the kids' education or whatever it is they want to do. So let's talk about the economic conditions. This is my recap. Eighth straight year, 2 million plus jobs. Second largest economic expansion period in American history. This will pass and become the first in another 2 months. GDP is still rising, although its increase is slowing a little bit. We're still rising over the previous year, but we're not rising at an increased rate at the rate we should have. 4% employment, New Jersey's now near the national average. Best paying jobs, New York City. Interest rates dropped to a surprising low since the first of the year. House prices last year got about 3+%. Depends where you're at, depends on your price. Same argument. We're seeing the baby boomers sitting tight because there wasn't any inventory. That could change this year because, as I said, some new inventory is coming on. And there's very, very little entry-level construction going on in our area. Just larger houses and newer rentals. And as a result of the previous 2 points, we're experiencing the current housing shortage. The shelves are empty and are starting housing price and starter price points. Foreclosures are on the decline. There's continued confidence that the new Tax and Jobs Act will further stimulate the economy, and the new tax rules appear to be only affecting the very end, high tide. But at the same time, we got changes in lifestyle going on. And this is key. The changes in the lifestyle are dictating what's happening in the market. Average age at marriage now in the upper 30s. That's 10 years more than it was 10 years ago. Families usually having one, maybe two children. A couple of reasons there, you can figure them out yourself. But one of them is the expense of having children. 70% of all New Jersey homes have no children of school age in them. 70%. 50% don't have two people in them. So we're saying 7 out of 10 people in New Jersey, household-wise, don't need a big house anymore. The demand for larger housing has diminished, not only in New Jersey, but everywhere in the country. Buyers are gravitating towards New York. That doesn't help us here in Hunterdon County. It doesn't help us in Somerset County either, but they're not getting hit as hard. There's no good mass transportation to New York, so people are trying to live within 15 miles, and that would put them on the eastern side of 287. It used to be they got on the eastern side of Route 31, which is about 12 miles further west. They were happy, but they're not moving that far anymore. 80% of consumers still perceive home ownership as a great part of the American dream, and it's just what they want to buy or rent that's changing. Builders are still thinking four-bedroom center hall colonials on one-acre-plus property, and a lot of that's dictated by building codes. But the buyers are thinking smaller luxury high-rises closer to mass transportation in a city, and we truly have a mismatch. And for the first time in history, Hunterdon County, this was in 2017, so the figures are over a year old, had more deaths than births. Now, I talked to Mark Salek a couple of weeks ago, who is economic development manager here in Hunterdon County. He was telling me about the influx of millennials into the Route 78 corridor, especially Clinton Township. I got to get Mark on the show to go deeper with this, but I'm a little skeptical that there's an influx. It might have improved, but he's, and I trust Mark, he's convinced we're headed in the right direction. We're seeing companies come into the area. We're seeing jobs come into the area. I know I've talked with the mayor, John Higgins, of Clinton Township. He's telling me all the industrial parks are sold out along 22 and 78. So what we saw some years back, where we couldn't even fill the industrial parks, is not happening anymore. It's picking up. Market conditions. We experienced a sales slump in late 2018. It appears we're now entering the next phase of the housing cycle, and it's still active. It's just a lot less robust. Sort of a cool down since 2018, or maybe we're just back to normal, and we don't know what normal looks like because it hasn't been normal in 10 years. We're starting to see some warnings of economic slowdown in 2020 to 21. And we will know it coming quicker when we start to see the Fed increasing the Fed rate again. But in general, homeowners are still getting more equity than ever. 92% of the people in New Jersey have positive equity. That's why we have less foreclosures. And no longer using their homes as ATMs. So the effect of the slowdown on housing should be minimal at all. Now think about it. When a slowdown starts to happen and it's a normal economic condition and the slowdown is predicted for the end of 2020 into somewhere in 2021, so that's about 36 months out. About a year before that, people will start to feel it, if that's happening, where they're working and may not be buying houses the way they would be buying it today. So we'll probably see the slowdown, if it happens, in real estate a year before that. So it's probably 24 months out. And we'll probably see it on a west-to-east ratio. So we may even see it by the end of this year or the next 12 months in Hunterdon County, but still not see it in Somerset County. That's the way things work. A lot of negative, inaccurate news about the housing industry results, and for the most part, the news is totally unfounded. Just the way the news about the taxes and how you're going to pay so much more, it's political. You make up your own word, but it's just political bull between the two parties that gets that news out there. But the negative news causes some people not to make a decision. Just turn on the TV. I know we have an inside joke in our house. Well, it's 6 o'clock. What are you going to do? I'm going to turn on the TV and curse at the television news station. It's like, good grief. Every night is a new fiasco. Everything's more sensational than before. We got to get that under control. That's not part of what we're here to talk about. But what's happening is having a negative impact on the real estate industry. I saw an article probably a month ago that said that cash out financing is higher than ever, and people were starting to use their homes as ATMs again. Well, cash out means I'm going to remortgage my home and take some cash out. You only do that if your equity has built up, and equity has built up. Well, we have seen that. It is higher than ever because we have more people than ever. If we held the price per person down to what it was 5 or 10 years ago, it would be better than ever. Secondly, they're not using their homes as ATM. If you take a look at the amount of people that took cash out and what they did with it, you would find that it's truly not more than ever. It's still happening, and it's happening at a much lesser percent than it was happening back when we had the problems we had. Maybe to an extent of 1/6 of what was happening back then. So the headlines are deceiving. You sort of see news bury the lie in the truth. It's like an old murder mystery. That, yeah, there's a little bit of truth, but it's a lot of not factual. It's a lot of opinion. And the opinion gets buried in a little bit of truth. I'm telling you, negative news hurts our industry. But I don't know how we're going to stop it. And quite honestly, I think we're a nation that's above that. And I don't want to get out on a political tangent here. Millennials make up about 25% of our economy, both from a workforce and from a homeowner viewpoint. If we had homes for millennials to buy and jobs for millennials to work at, they would work here and live here. But we don't have either. So as a result, they go to New York, or in that direction at least. They go to the East. They make the money. And then the next thing to say is, why don't I come all the way back west to Hunterdon County? Maybe I should be living in Union County, Middlesex County. In a lot of instances, they're living along the river in the very expensive places like Hoboken or Weehawken. There's nothing wrong with it. It becomes the beginning of a syndrome. And a syndrome is it costs a lot more to live there. The rent is more. The cost to get a shirt cleaned is more. The cost to park your car is more. The cost for a cup of coffee is more. The cost for everything is more. So as a result, all your discretionary income goes to live there. And we're seeing an average person who's renting, after several years of renting, with $4,000 or $5,000 in the bank, and you're definitely not going to buy a house with $4,000 or $5,000 in the bank. So they keep renting. So that's what I'm calling it's a syndrome. It's a never-ending story going in the wrong direction, where people who buy a house will gain 3, 4, 5%, depending on the price point, depending on the area. And every year, they're putting, let's say they put 20% down and they buy a $250,000 house. Well, they've only put $50,000 down. And if they're getting 5% on a $250,000 house, they're getting $12,500 out of it each year. And that's compounding. And by the end of 5 years, they've got not only the 20% they put down, but they've got probably that much again in appreciation. And now they could take that money out and buy a bigger house because they probably had a child or two by then or are planning to. And that's the time, and that's the life cycle. Affordability will never be as good as it is today. And I think what we're seeing with the minimum of new construction, and then there's this whole thing about affordable housing. And that doesn't mean it's housing that people can afford. That means it's income-restricted housing and state-subsidized housing. You cannot build more than 8 units of anything anywhere and not put up affordable housing. I don't care if it's for sale or for rent. That's the state law. And because developers are meeting that, they're not as, it costs them more to build than it used to. And as a result, new construction costs more than it used to. And as a result, we have people not buying new construction because it's too pricey. I'll give you a great example. I showed a house to a couple in Warren, New Jersey, really Watchung, 2 weeks ago. It was $1,105,000. It's $1,150,000. This was a 5,500 square foot house. It was flipped. It's a beautiful house. It's on an acre and a half. It has more room in it than any family will ever need. It is a great house. $1,150,000. Took them down the street and I showed them brand new construction, 2,400 square foot on an eighth of an acre, long, thin lot, but brand new, brand new. It wasn't knocked down and rebuilt. It wasn't gutted and rebuilt. Somebody built four of these units right next to each other, and they're 900,000. Now you look at 2,400 square feet for 900,000, and you look at 5,500 square feet, and that's not including the basement, for $1,150,000, and people are going to say a couple of things. One is, first of all, don't need all that room. I've got to heat it, got to sort of decorate it, I've got to furnish it. But it's really hard to buy the 900 when this is happening. And this is happening all over. So we've got an acute shortage at the very popular price points. We've got builders building because they have to, bigger houses on smaller lots. And we've got people thinking, maybe renting isn't so bad. And as a result of their thinking that, and doing that as a result of their thinking that, because they can't find what they want to buy, two-thirds of our new construction in New Jersey in 2018 was rental-only construction. So we went from 73% home ownership to 64% home ownership through the economic downturn. It's now built up to about 65, 66. I, for one, don't think it's going to go much higher than that. I think it's going to start rescinding because we're building more and more rentals, and more people are saying, we're going to have that great big mega mansion, maybe living in a high rise next to a railroad track, and renting isn't so bad. Or maybe I buy it. It's a co-op kind of thing. The picture of what they want is different, but the builders are still building what they don't want. You figure it out. Forecast. Here we go. We got like 3 or 4 minutes to go. Economy will continue to prosper. No recession in sight for 24 to 36 months. Interest rates will probably not climb further in 2019. I think that's really good news. Home prices will climb only 2 or 3% this year, where it climbed 3 to 4% this year, maybe 5 in a popular price points. While improving, supply will remain tight in the more popular price points. Many new jobs seem to be resulting from the Tax and Jobs Act. Just look at the help wanted signs. For the first time in memory, the U.S. is reporting more jobs than people. We need to match the skills to get the people skilled in the jobs that are open. And that's a big subject. The affordability index shows that there's more room for more sales. We just need to increase the inventory. Some high-end fallout will result, and already has. I've read where we lost 5,700 millionaires between New York and New Jersey in the last 24 months. Just move to more affordable places to live. Commercial real estate seems to be coming back, and the people in their home more than 10 years have more equity than they can believe, and the reason is once you pass that 10-year mark, you're paying a lot each month towards equity, so your equity is building up. So, you know, where you'd pay the first month, maybe 25% went towards equity. By the time you get to the 120th month or 10 years into a 30-year mortgage, probably half, if not more, is going towards equity. It's building up, and people are amazed they have this much equity, and they're, because some things are no longer tax deductible, they're refinancing their primary and taking the cash out and paying off the secondary, which is not tax deductible. They may be paying down the home equity line of credit because in a lot of instances, it's no longer tax deductible. You got to talk to your tax or financial advisors before doing this. But I'm sitting here looking at the clock saying I got a minute and a half left, and what can I say that will make you walk away thinking a little different than when you walked into this conversation, although it's one way. One is, what we want is different because life is different. We're not having as many children. We're having them later in life. Our population is aging to a lot of the older people. The people over 50 years old don't have children at home anymore. They were probably born in their 30s, and by the time they're 50, they're off to college. They would buy or rent the right house if they could find it and get out of the mega mansion. So we're going to get inventory on the market at the wrong level. And as a result of it, we're going to have standing inventory at the very high levels for some time. And I don't know what happens to that. You look at the fact that we're knocking down malls, like some of the malls down the shore getting closed and knocked down. Phillipsburg Mall, I just heard today, is going to go into 50% housing. They're going to demall it, make it a strip mall, knock it down and put some housing in there. The world as we see it is changing, but the way we're building houses isn't. And as a result, I think we're going to see further changes because I don't see people on the horizon to buy the kind of housing that we're currently building. And that is a situation that will come home to roost. I'm going to play my introduction or info one more time, and I'll see you next week. Thank you.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Attorney General Bill Barr at a Senate hearing drops a bombshell regarding the Obama administration and the 2016 Trump campaign.
I think there's spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Barr says he's looking into whether the FBI and other agencies were surveilling the 2016 Trump campaign.
Congress is usually very concerned about intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies staying in their proper lane, and I want to make sure that happened. We have a lot of rules about that.
President Trump says illegal immigrants are dying after crossing the border into the United States. During a roundtable discussion with supporters in San Antonio today, Trump says he's hearing incredible stories about dangerous criminals threatening border area residents.
I had no idea. Nobody has any idea how bad this is, and this has been going on for many years.
This is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
One person is dead and a firefighter is in critical condition after a massive gas explosion in downtown Durham, North Carolina. At least 15 other people have been taken to a hospital. Durham Emergency Management says a gas explosion happened this morning at a business and the neighboring buildings have all now been evacuated. Facebook has announced some new policies on how to handle profiles of people that have died. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the story.
The social network says it will use artificial intelligence to find the profiles of people who are deceased and stop birthday reminders from being sent out. The company says it's also adding a tribute section to accounts that have been memorialized, that is, designated as belonging to someone who has died. Family members and friends will be able to use this section to write posts and share photos. But Facebook says from now on, only family members and friends will be able to memorialize an account. Previously, anyone could do so.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.